Let's see here.
Mark and Dave, can I get you guys to run over there and set up those tables for me, would you please?
Okay. I see you run a little bit, Mark. Just show them that you can run.
No, I'm serious. Just run a little bit. Very good.
Can you just take both of those tables and chairs and would you set them up for us there, please? Isn't it amazing what some people with two legs and two feet can do a whole lot better than guys that just have one foot? When you're missing a foot, you're in trouble. When they're trying to play soccer, it doesn't work so well with only one foot. When you want some guys to maybe set up some tables and chairs, it doesn't work very well without a foot, does it? You know, the brain can tell the body to do something, but if you're missing your feet, it becomes hard to do. If you got a foot that's missing, or if you got a foot that's been cut off, if you got a foot that's out of joint, it becomes hard for the body to do what it's trying to do. These men, they're capable. They got two legs, two feet. They got a good brain that God's given them, and they're capable of doing. Why? Two hands, two feet, two arms, two legs, all that stuff. They can do it. When a person twists their ankle or breaks a leg or has a bad accident and their foot is out of joint, it suddenly becomes very difficult to run, doesn't it? And running without feet is pretty much near impossible. I think Eric kind of proved that there. He's not a clumsy dude by any means, but boy, when you're missing a leg or you're missing a foot, you're not going to be able to run. You can hop, you can do a bunny thing, and you can scoot along like BJ does, but you're not going to be able to run. You can't function as well when you're missing a foot as you can when you've got 2 feet. Running without feet is pretty near impossible, I think. Running with a foot out of joint, the Bible actually compares it to being like putting your confidence in an unfaithful man, that it can be painful. It's difficult to get something done. It's painful to you. I want you to turn with me this morning, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And we want to talk a little bit more about this morning in the message. The title of the message this morning is going to be Running with a Foot Out of Joint. Running with a foot out of joint. Last 2 years, we've focused on kneeling, sitting, standing, walking, and running. This is going to be the last message this morning that I'm going to preach, kind of going that direction with that theme. But I want to speak to you about running with a foot out of joint. Look here at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And why don't you go ahead and stand with me if you can, please, if you're able to. All right, let's stand together and let's read. Oh, there in verse number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11. Let's actually go back and even read verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Let's just skip that. But you know, God, we could talk about it. He gives spiritual gifts to every member of the church. He gives spiritual gifts to every Christian. And those gifts are so needed in the church. They're needed in the church body for the body to function like God wants it to. It says down in verse 11, but all these worketh that one and that selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, or many, many parts to the body, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, but so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink in one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Verse 16. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? In other words, he's trying to say, you know, if one part of the body says, well, I'm not the hand, so I'm not as important, I'm not as needed, I'm not as useful, and I don't get used as much, isn't it still part of the body? Pretty important part of the body, I would say. And if the ear would say, well, I'm not the eye. You know, I'm not as important as the eye. They don't need me. Just cut me off. I'm not needed. Oh, no. The body needs the ears. The body needs the ears and needs the eyes and needs the nose and needs the hands and needs the legs and needs the feet. And every part of the body is needed. It says in verse number 17, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Well, that'd be a pretty freaky looking thing, wouldn't it? If the whole body was just an eye and there was no hearing and no hands and no arms, no legs, no feet and so on. If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Just as it's pleasing to God. That some are a hand, some are a foot, some are a leg, some are a knee joint, some are an eye, some are an ear. You know, some are some of those organs on the inside of the body that maybe aren't seen so much. They don't get as much of a public notice, but boy, they're just as important, aren't they? The heart's important, the kidney's important, all those things are vitally important to the body. It says in verse 18, but now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Boy, we just tried to illustrate that. The head needs the foot, doesn't it? Eric's brain can be trying to tell him what to do, but when he only is functioning with one foot, it doesn't work very well. You're missing a foot, you can't do. You're missing a leg, you can't do what your brain is telling your body to do. It says, verse 22, nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts of more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. We're one body in Christ. Here is a church, as a group of believers, we're one body. But yet different members and different parts of the body. Again, notice verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And then verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Thank you. You can be seated there. Here's the application this morning that I want to make. A church trying to run with no feet has difficulty running. Pretty obvious. A church trying to run with no feet has difficulty running. Every member, every part of the body is needed. The hands are needed. The eyes are needed. The ears are needed. The feet are needed. The legs are needed. Every part for the church, for the body of Christ to be able to function as God wants us to function. Look what it says over in Proverbs 25. Turn there with me if you would. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 19. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 19. It's from this verse here that we take the title of the message. Proverbs 25:19 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Well, a broken tooth can be a painful thing, can it? A foot out of joint can be a painful thing. Not only is it painful, but boy, you can't do what you would normally do. Confidence in an unfaithful man is like a time of trouble, is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. The local church trying to run with a foot out of joint just doesn't work well. We need faithful men and ladies. Need to be faithful members of the church and faithful members of the body of Christ. The Bible tells us that there's a lack of faithful men. Proverbs 20 and verse number 6, here close by there. Proverbs 20 and verse 6. The Bible says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? God's not looking for us that can proclaim how good we are and how important we are and how essential we are. He's just looking for faithful men and women. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Lack of faithful men is like a body that's missing some of its parts. What's the deal? It's not complete. It's not whole. A body that has no feet will be functioning at a severe handicap. A body that's trying to run with no feet will have that handicap and won't be able to run and won't be able to do what maybe the head is trying to tell it to do, because no feet, you can't run like you want to run. It becomes more difficult for the body to function and do all the things that the head would like to do if the feet are missing, if the feet have been cut off, if the feet are foot's out of joint. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. God's word compares the local church to one body and says that we, the people, are the members that make up that one body. And for the body to function properly, all the parts are needed, all the members are needed. A body without a foot can't run. It can't. No matter how hard it tries, it can't run. A body without feet can't stand up on its own. Think about this. How can our church be what God wants it to be? And how can we do what God wants us to do without every member of the body functioning in their place and fulfilling the role for which God made us? We're needed. The eye is needed. The ears are needed. The feet are needed. The legs are needed. Every organ, every part. There's no part that's uncomely or unseemly, that's unnecessary. Oh, they're all needed. They're all important. They're all essential. People could say, well, I can just be cut off and it won't matter. Oh, no, it does matter. You're needed in the church. You're needed in the body of Christ. There's a role for which God has made you. There's a purpose for God with you to fulfill. There's a spiritual gift that God has given you that the Ephesians would teach us. He wants you to use in the local church to so that the body can be edified and strengthened. How can our church be what God wants it to be and do what God wants us to do without every part of the body functioning in their place, fulfilling the role for which God has made us? The Bible says there's a lack of faithful men. Number two, the Bible says it's required of us that we would be faithful stewards. It's required of us that we would be faithful stewards. What's a steward? A steward is someone that cares for something that belongs to another. A steward is similar to a trustee in that a steward is like a servant that is entrusted with the responsibility to care for something that's really not their own. When we have stewardship of something, we don't have ownership of it. A steward means it belongs to somebody else and we're to take care of it. We're to be good stewards. We're to be stewards of our bodies, stewards of our life, stewards of our children, stewards of the gospel. We've been put in trust with the gospel. God should have ownership of our life. God should have ownership of this church. But we're to be good stewards of it. Good stewards of the church. Good stewards of our life. Good stewards of the body that God's given to us. Good stewards of the resources and abilities that God gives to us. Good stewards to our talents and gifts and abilities that God has given us. Every child of God is to be a steward of their life. Your life and your body does not belong to you. It belongs to God. God should rightfully own us once, simply because He's the Creator. He's God and we're His creation. But secondly, He owns us. He's bought us back. He's redeemed us. That's what salvation is all about. Being purchased, being bought back. In sin, we went away from God. But when He redeems us, we are purchased, we're bought back. And we are brought into the family of God. We become His. And we're to live for Him. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. And most of you would know these verses. But it says, what know ye not? That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God. When we get saved, the Spirit of God lives inside of us. It goes on and says, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So it says that once you're saved, hey, we belong to God. Our life belongs to God. Our body belongs to God. And the things that we would do in our body ought to be pleasing to Him, because we're to be good stewards of what He's given us. Faithful stewards. Everything that we have comes from God. Everything. As a Christian, we need to come to the understanding that everything I have is a gift from God. My life is a gift from God. My health is a gift from God. My salvation is a gift from God. My gifts and talents and abilities. It's not because I'm so great. It's a gift from God. The resources that we have are a gift from God. And we're to be good stewards of it. It all belongs to Him. And we're to be good stewards. Stewards of our talents. Stewards of our wealth. Stewards of our health. Stewards of our resources, stewards of our time, our life, our children, our talents, our abilities, all of it, all of it. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Not that a man be found careless, not that a man be found lazy, not that a man be found, you know, unfaithful, but that a man be found faithful. Faithful. God requires that we be faithful and wise stewards over all that He gives us to care for. Our life is not ours to do with as we please. It's not. My life is not my own. It belongs to God. Your life is not your own. It belongs to God. Many times we go through life and think, well, this is what I want to do. That's a wonderful thought, but we need to think, well, what does God want me to do? What does God want with my life? What does God expect of me? What would be pleasing to the Lord God? You know something? Our children are not our own. They belong to God. My children are not my children. They're God's. They're God's. As a parent, God has entrusted them to my care, and I'm to rear them and train them up for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm to train them, to teach them to love the Lord and to desire to live for the Lord and please the Lord. I'm not just to train them and get them to, well, this is what I want for them, and this is what I want them to do. It doesn't matter what I want. It all only matters what God wants, because they need to come to the place where their life, they understand, is God's. And what God wants for me, that's what I will do. What's pleasing to the Lord, that's what I'll do. My children, they're not my children to train and to raise for me. And that many times, families and parents, it's so easy in the world today, and people push their children towards certain things, sometimes extremely hard. We are to train them in the right ways and so on, but we're not to push them to, well, they have to do this career because that's what I wanted. Sometimes people push them towards something that, well, they failed at and they want their kid to do it. Or something that they wish they could have done, but they want their kid to do it. We have a desire that they would please God. Our time is not ours to do with as we please. Every minute, every hour, every day belongs to God. And He ought to determine our schedule. It's not just that Sunday ought to be the Lord's day. Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday really ought to be. Well, it's God's. God's given me 168 hours in a week. And okay, God, what do you want me to do with my time? You want me to honor you and put you first. You want me to be faithful to church. And you want me to work my job hard and faithfully and take care of my family. And there's these things maybe that you want me to do in the service of the Lord. Or these things I ought to do to care for my family. And so on. There's priorities of life. And that's all to be fit in. But we're supposed to take our time and take our hours and take our days and use them to please the Lord and do what He wants us to do. Our time is not ours to do with as we please. Our money and our treasures belong to God. And truthfully, not just a tenth when we think about the tithe, but all of it, it's God's. And I get to be a good steward of it, and I'm to be faithful with what He gives me, and to use it wisely, and to invest it, and to use it carefully, and to honor the Lord with it, and so on. But everything that we have is from God. And we need to be faithful stewards of what He's given to us. We need to invest wisely with our money. We ought to invest in things that will bring the right returns on God's money. We ought to invest our money in things that pay good dividends for eternity. We ought to invest in things that are eternal. Our talents and our abilities are also a gift from God. A good mind even is a gift from God. I thank God very, very regularly for my children. And I don't say this in a way to make people feel bad. I thank God so often, and by God's grace, that I have healthy children. And I hurt sometimes. I've got relatives. I've got a cousin that's extremely sick, and she's got a very autistic daughter, extreme autism, and she herself is a sick lady who's a cripple. She has to be carried around now, and she's got these little children to care for and an autistic child. I've got relatives and aunts and uncles and things that have a lot of heart sicknesses and things that they're going through. And I thank God for the measure of health. I don't know why we have health, and I don't know why some people are healthy and some people become more sick sometimes. And I thank God for that. Listen, if God has given us good health, we're accountable to use it for the Lord. God has given us a healthy body and the strength to be able to do things, use it for the Lord. If God's given you good mind, use it for the Lord. If God's given you good health, use it for the Lord. If God's given you resources monetarily, use it for the Lord. Hey, whatever it is, use it for the Lord. Talents and gifts and abilities, use it for the Lord, because it's for Him. We're to be good stewards of what He's given us. We should certainly not use our talents just to make a name for ourselves or just to make money. We ought to use our abilities to glorify God. Corinthians said this, moreover, it is required in stewards that the man be found faithful. Faithful. There's a lack of faithful men, and God's looking for faithful stewards. God's looking for us to be faithful stewards of our life, of our time, of our talent, of our treasure, of our children, of our church. The Bible says in Proverbs 25, we looked at it, that God really can't put confidence in an unfaithful man. God can't put confidence in an unfaithful man. It said in Proverbs 25 and verse 19 that confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Boy, we already illustrated it to you this morning, but you cut off the foot, you can't run very well. You have a foot that was that's out of joint. You're not going to be able to run very well. You're not going to be able to function very well. Listen, are you faithful? Are you dependable to the Lord? Can you be relied upon to be in your place? Can you be counted on by God? Just like none of us would want to go to war with soldiers that have their foot out of joint, God doesn't want there to be unfaithful men and women in His service. God wants us to be faithful. God can't put confidence in an unfaithful or unreliable servant. God needs faithful men. God is looking for faithful men and faithful women to serve Him and follow Him and live for Him. He wants us to be faithful as we do the Lord's work. God is looking for some men who will be faithful. Matthew 25, 23 says this, His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Wouldn't you like to one day, and we won't look into that story in the Bible, but wouldn't you like to one day be able to meet your God, meet your Lord, meet your Master, meet your Savior, and have God be able to say to you, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Wouldn't you like to stand before Him and then be able to hear Him say, I'm pleased with you. I'm pleased with your life. I'm pleased with how you lived. I'm pleased with where your heart was at. I'm pleased with what your priorities were. I'm pleased with your faithfulness. God is just looking for some Christians that will be faithful to Him. Faithful to Him. God's looking for some that will be faithful stewards. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Be good stewards of your talent, times, treasures, life, children. Good stewards of our church. God has given it all to us, and we should use and invest what He's given us to serve Him and to please Him. God is looking for some men that will be faithful to church. Hebrews 10, verse 25, it says, Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Listen, the day of Christ's return is approaching. The day of Christ coming back could be so soon. Things in the Word of God have been fulfilled. Prophecy is being fulfilled more and more all the time. Jesus Christ is going to be coming back. And if He comes back, I want to be found faithful. If He comes back, I want to be found doing what the Lord God wants me to do. I want to be found faithful to Jesus Christ. Got to obey the commands of Scripture. Be faithful to the Lord. Be faithful to church. Fourthly, God's looking for some men to be faithful to the Word of God. In Titus chapter 1, verse 9, it tells us to hold fast to the Word of God. Hold fast to it. Boy, this is a day and age when many people are forsaking the faith. The young people sometimes are growing up and they're forsaking their faith and they're turning aside from it and they're no longer following in the faith of their fathers. And listen, this is a time to hold fast. This is a time to hold on to the Word of God and say, this is it. This is the Word of God. This is what I believe. This is what I'll follow. This is how I'm going to live. We need to hold fast to the Word of God. It's not time to give it up and say, oh, we just can't believe it. No, hold fast to the Word of God. But don't just hold fast to it. Do what it says. Right? James chapter 1. Verse 22 says, But be doers of the Word and not hearers only. It's easy to hear what the Word of God says. It's a harder thing to do what the Word of God says. It's easy to know what the Word of God says. It's a harder thing to live what the Word of God says. But God wants us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. If we're going to be faithful to Christ and faithful followers and the faithful men and women that God wants us to be, then we must be doers of the Word of God. We need to be faithful men and faithful ladies doing what Christ has wants us to do. In the church, do what God wants us to do. In the church, be faithful. In our life, be faithful. In our home, be faithful unto God. So be faithful men and ladies. Number five, God is looking for some men and women to be faithful witnesses. Faithful witnesses. He said this before he ascended in Acts chapter 1. He ascended there, verse 11, and says, you know, I'm coming back again. You'll so see me come again in like manner. But before he did all that, before he ascended, he said this, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. A witness is someone that is able to tell others what they've seen and what they've heard. If someone needed to be called as a witness, you know, maybe there was an accident out here on Yonge Street and you happened to be out there in the parking lot or out there walking on the sidewalk and you saw this accident occur. Somebody came racing down the road and they hit a pedestrian or hit another car and you were there. You could be a witness to share and tell, this is what I saw, this is what I heard. We're to be witnesses of Christ. The things that we've seen, the things that we've heard. Hey, the things that Christ has done in our life. That speaks of what they've seen and heard because they'd walked with Him. They talked with Him. Listen, we need to be witnesses for Christ, knowing what He's done in our lives. Witnesses knowing what Jesus can do in a person's life. How He saved you. How He changed you. The difference He made in your life. We're to be witnesses of these things. Who is it that you and I will try to witness to this year before December 31st comes? Who is it at Christmas time that maybe is somebody that you ought to try to witness to and tell them about Jesus Christ and tell them what His birth was really all about and tell them what His death on the cross was really all about? Because God wants us to be witnesses to them of the gospel so they could know the truth. We need to be faithful, faithful witnesses. God's looking for faithful men and women, faithful stewards, those will be faithful to church and faithful to the Word of God and faithful witnesses. And it all goes back to what God said there in Proverbs 25. Confidence in an unfaithful man is like broken tooth or like a foot out of joint. Like having a foot out of joint. Boy, you can't run with a foot out of joint. You can't run with a foot out of joint. We looked there in Corinthians this morning and looked at how God calls the church a body. And how every part of the body is needed. Every member of the body is needed. The eyes are needed. The ears are needed. The hands are needed. The feet are needed. The legs are needed. Every part's needed. Listen, if we go and cut off the feet, the body can't do what it's supposed to. The body can't function as well. You're needed to be a faithful man or faithful lady or faithful steward in your church. Don't ever think, well, I'm not really not needed that much. I really don't have anything to do. I don't got a job to do. I'm not that important. I'm not really needed. If I show up, good. If I don't show up, nobody will miss me. I'm not. Oh, no, you'll be missed. If you're not involved, you'll be missed. If you won't give, you'll be missed. If you won't show up, you'll be missed. If you're not faithful, you'll be missed. If you don't use your spiritual gift to edify and to serve in the church, hey, you'll be missed. If you're not a faithful part of the body and a faithful member of the body, it's like we've cut the feet off. And the church can't function like it was made to function. Why? Because the feet are cut off. The foot's out of joint. The church is just struggling along. You know, if I would have let the boys continue, they could have struggled and got those tables and chairs set up. But you know, some men that had their feet and could run like Mark did, hey, they can get it done a lot better and a lot easier. Let me tell you something. The church can struggle on. Struggle on at a handicap with the feet cut off or with the feet out of joint. Or we can reattach the feet. We can get the feet fixed up and get them healthy again and get the body healthy. And the church can function and fulfill and do what God wants it to do. Boy, cutting the feet off severely is going to hurt the body, the church body. Trying to run with a foot out of joint will greatly handicap, greatly hurt the church. Let's be the faithful men and ladies that God wants us to be. When we're not, we're just cutting off the foot. Just like the foot's out of joint. Let's be faithful. Let's be faithful to the Lord. Heavenly Father.